morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. It is Thursday, December 29th, and we are getting ready for New Year's Eve. Debbie and I are getting ready to go to Houston later today to see family, and also I'm doing a funeral Friday morning for a dear friend and their family. I've known this sweet lady for probably 45 plus years, and she went home to be with the Lord and had Christmas in heaven. And so we're going to have a great celebration of her life. And she has three boys and a wonderful husband. And so there are going to be tears, no doubt, but there's going to be rejoicing because we know that she had a personal relationship with Jesus and she is in the presence of the Lord. Well, I have a question for you this morning. Are you ready for the war? As we get ready to go into 2023, are you ready for the war? You know, we have that little children's song that Debbie and I taught our kids that says, I'm in the Lord's army. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom or the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. And Paul told Timothy, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So that little song, I'm in the Lord's army, is so true. And we need to think like soldiers and we need to prepare ourselves for the spiritual battle that is upon us. Many of us get whipped in the battle because we don't even know that we're in the battle. We're like, what war are you talking about? Bible says this, Ephesians chapter 6, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. We're in a battle, and Christians are at war with an unholy trinity. And you think about what does the scripture tell us? Well, the scripture tells us that we have three enemies. We have the devil, obviously, and his demonic horde. Everybody knows that. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around, Peter said, like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So there's the devil. He's the infernal foe. He's set on fire by hell. He is out there prowling, looking for someone to devour, looking for a chink in the armor that he can get in and to steal and kill and destroy. But then there's also the world. The Bible says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. For if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. So we have the devil, the infernal foe, the world, the external foe, and then we have an internal foe, and that is the flesh. And the Bible has a lot to say about the flesh. What is the flesh? It's our old residual nature, that old Adamic nature that does battle inside. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, he tells us about the flesh. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. And if he forgot anything, he says, and things like these. Of which I forewarn you, just as I have also forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who practice such things reveal that they've never been saved. That's their lifestyle is just still immersed in sin because they've never been delivered from sin. So we're fighting an unholy trinity, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, it's interesting what the Bible tells us in how we deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil, because you don't deal the same with every one of the unholy trinity foes. When it comes to the world, The Bible says this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You know, the world is, it's interesting because the Bible uses that term world, cosmos, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we are to love the world because God loves the world. We're to love the people in the world. So world can mean the world of men, and Jesus died for the world of men, women, boys, and girls. But world also is used in the scripture to talk about the world system. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. That is a different use of the word world, and that is the system that the devil has. Don't be conformed to this world, as it says in New American Standard, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So there's this pressure, and the devil is involved in the things of this world to push the world. He's called the prince of the power of the air, and he's using the world and the world system. He's deceiving, and the world system is being deceived, and there's a push in the world that affects every Christian. So don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. That means that the world is coming after you to try and squeeze you into its mold, to try and get you to believe the things of this world. And I think with all the stuff going on that hit in 2020 with COVID and all the lies that we saw coming out of big government, big pharma, the CDC and the WHO, and all the lies coming from China, and we just see that the world system is a deceiving system. And so the Bible talks about, you know, 1 John chapter 2, do not love the world nor the things in the world, for if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, what is all that is in the world? Well, it tells us, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. So the world is it's a player in the unholy Trinity, but it's connected to the flesh and it's connected to the devil. All three are working in tandem to try and take us down. Now, there are some who believe that you can lose your salvation, and I reject that totally. Once you're not saved by your good works, you're saved for by grace through faith. So you're not saved by your works. You can't lose your salvation by bad works. You're not saved by good works. You don't lose it by bad works. I agree with Dr. John MacArthur said, if you could lose your salvation and we could lose our salvation, every single one of us would. But we're not saved by holding on to Jesus. He holds on to us. We are kept. 1 Peter chapter 1, we are kept by the power of God. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And so when you get saved, the Lord puts you in his hand, and you're secure in his hand. Nobody can snatch you out of the Father's hand. The devil can't snatch you out of the Father's hand. You can't crawl out of the Father's hand. You're secure in his hand. And if that's not good enough, he said, my Father, who's greater than all, has given them to me. And he puts his hand over the hand of the Lord Jesus. And you are secure in Christ. You're never going to fall out of your relationship with Jesus and your sonship, your daughtership with Jesus. But now, you can struggle with the things of this world. You can be a soldier who doesn't understand he's in a battle and get wiped out and lose all your ability to make a difference for the Lord. And you're just a casualty of war, so to speak. And that's not what the Lord wants for you. And we have lots of Christians like that. I was looking at a book on my desk just the other day from Matt Walsh. And he's calling out Christian cowards. And he's calling Christians to stand up to the world, the flesh, and the devil, and stand up to the culture and say, hey, we're not going to cave on the things of God. So back to the world. So the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, that's all in the world. And so I was reading this commentary this morning, and it said, what is the lust of the flesh? That is sensualism. That is gratification of the physical senses and seeing that as the highest good. Now, that's a temptation that comes at the flesh. It's from the world. It comes at the flesh to get us to succumb to the lust of the flesh. But then it also talks about the lust of the eyes. What's the lust of the eyes? That's the lust of greed. That's the desire for more and more and more. More toys, more things, more houses, more cars, more boats, more more jewelry, a bigger bank account. You always have to have more. You're constantly comparing with other people. The Bible says, let your character be free from the love of money, not desiring more and more. But realize that what you have in Jesus is worth more than anything. And so as we allow our characters to be free from the love of money, then we're not controlled by that. We defeat the lust of the eyes. And then it talks about the boastful pride of life. What is the boastful pride of life? That's egotism. That's narcissism. That's look at me, look what I can do. And if you think about it, the devil used the things in the world when he came at Eve. And he got her to look at the fruit. And the Bible says when Eve saw that the tree was good for food, that's the lust of the flesh, that it was a delight to the eyes, that's the lust of the eyes, and that it was desirable to make one wise. What is that? That's the boastful pride of life. Look at me. I'm going to take this and I'm going to be wise and I'm going to be like God. The temptation in the garden was not to fall down, it was to fall up, to be like God. And so the devil uses that which is in the world. That's how he came at Jesus. He tempted him with the lust of the flesh. Command these stones to become bread. You've been fasting for 40 days, Jesus, and you need this. He comes with the lust of the flesh, and then he comes with the lust of the eyes, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. All this has been given to me. I'll give it to you if you'll just bow down and worship me. You see all this stuff, Jesus. You don't have to go to the cross. I'll give it to you now. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and then the boastful pride of life. Took him to the pinnacle of the temple, jumped down, and then he uses scripture against Jesus. And he says, doesn't it say in the book of Psalms that he will give his angels charge concerning you, lest you dash your foot against a stone? So he comes with the same three bullets that are found in the world. The devil is the tempter. The devil is the deceiver. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. So we deal with the world, we deal with the devil, and we deal with the flesh. The flesh is not an external foe. It's not an infernal foe. The flesh is an internal foe. It is something that you and I battle with as believers all the time. And Galatians 5, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. There is an internal battle going on in the heart, in the soul of every Christian. And the question is, who am I going to let sit on the throne of my life? Who is going to lead? Is it going to be the flesh, which is just self, sinful self? Or am I going to yield my life to the Holy Spirit of God who lives inside? The Bible says that when you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. God hates the flesh. The flesh is against God. So we yield ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, you lead me. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. We're talking about spiritual warfare. Are you ready for the war? And we need to think like soldiers and be good soldiers of Christ Jesus to stand up for the truth and to resist the devil and watch him flee from us. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we want to continue to make that difference. God's called us to it, and we have set our face as a flint, like the prophets in the Old Testament, to stay true to God and His Word. So I want to encourage you to support the work here at American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in Securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
Target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
The petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing 1 million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what could it hurt? What could it hurt? What could it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at afa.net.
American Family Radio listening family, this is Bible League International, and we've spent the last few weeks telling you about persecuted believers praying for Bibles to be able to endure and persevere in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. We told you about Pastor Roussis, whose three sons were murdered by a terrorist group that hates Christians, but rather than retaliate with violence, they invited these people to learn about Jesus. 200 have come to Christ. They need Bibles in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And in the Middle East, Pastor Yusuf and a deacon in his church were kidnapped in broad daylight. When the family could not pay the ransom, they kill the deacon, they torture Pastor Yusuf, but with conviction today, that brother can say, it's an honor to suffer for the Lord. AFR listeners, you've given so generously in recent weeks so that 9,000 Bibleist persecuted believers now have a Bible. Our goal is 16,000. So in this season of giving, at $5 a Bible, $100 sends 20, will you pray about it? And then call 800-YES-WORD, 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 or give it sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about spiritual warfare. You know, when we think about spiritual warfare, we tend to kind of think about it in one dimension. We just think about the devil. We know that the devil is our enemy. He's our adversary, and he runs a demonic horde. You know, when Lucifer, the most beautiful angel that God made, the guardian angel of God, so to speak, when he fell from glory, he took a third of the angels with him. And what is a demon? A demon is a fallen angel. What is the devil? The devil is a fallen angel. He was Lucifer, the star of the morning, son of the dawn, and he became Satan, the father of the night. Took a third of the angels with him in his rebellion against God. And so we don't know how many angels God made. We just know that there are myriads and myriads of angels, lots of angels. So the good news, we have two-thirds holy angels, one-third evil, wicked, demonic spirits. So we're 2-1 as it relates to that equation. But the devil, we think of the devil and the demons. Okay, those are our adversaries, and they are. But the world is also our adversary, and the flesh is our adversary. You know, when you think about the millennial kingdom, Revelation chapter 20, the first thing that the Lord does when he wins the battle of Armageddon, in Revelation 19, he destroys his enemies with a sharp sword that comes out of his mouth. And that's not a literal thing. John is speaking in figurative terms. And the God who spoke the worlds into existence, there's power in the Word of God, and he wins that battle not by fighting with his fists or anything like that. He just speaks a word, and his enemies are destroyed. And the carnage is so great that it says in Revelation that the blood it flows like a river and comes up to the horses' bridles for a distance of 200 miles. Well, that's the Battle of Armageddon. Wipes out all his enemies, sets up his kingdom. You read about the judgment of the sheep and the goats. That's who gets to come into the kingdom. And it's only believers that come into the kingdom. And when they come into the kingdom, we have glorified saints. So those who have been raptured, that we come back with the Lord, Revelation 19. We come back with him. We rule and reign with him. And so you have glorified saints, and then you have flesh and blood. You have human beings, people who made it through the rapture, who made it through the tribulation. You know, billions die during the tribulation period, that 7-year period. But there are some that live, and those people that come into the kingdom are believers, and they have children. And it goes back, life goes back to what it was before the fall. And that's the desert will bloom like a rose, and the wolf lays down with the lamb, and the little child can play in the cobra's den, and they will not hurt in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. And people have children, and those children are born into this world, and Jesus is king, and they're in a perfect environment, a perfect place. But just like it is today, you have to put your faith and trust in Jesus in order to be saved, and they're going to have to put their faith and trust in Jesus. And those that do are saved, and they go on and they live. It's a 1,000-year millennial kingdom. And so you have many who put their faith and trust in Jesus, and you have some that don't. Actually, it's many that don't, because in a 1,000-year period of time, when there's no more pain in childbirth and people are not dying, you can populate the world to a huge extent. And the first thing that the Lord does when he sets up his kingdom is he binds the devil. And so he puts him in chains and puts him in the bottomless pit. And so Satan can't deceive the nations any longer. But here's the thing. Men still sin in the millennial kingdom. Why? Well, not the glorified saints, because we've been justified, we've been sanctified, we've been glorified. We don't deal with sin anymore, because that has been taken away from us. But the human beings, the people that have never died, they go into the kingdom and they still have their sinful flesh that they have to deal with. And so that is still going to be a struggle. Galatians 5, the deeds of the flesh, this is apart from the devil, the deeds of the flesh are evident. And so the immorality, the impurity, the sensuality, the idolatry, the sorcery, the enmities, the strife, the jealousy, the outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, those temptations are still going to be present, but you don't have a tempter trying to pull on those. And so here's the point I'm making. Dealing with the flesh is difficult. And if the devil were to be bound today, all God's people, it's not that we wouldn't sin anymore. We would just have one of the members of the unholy Trinity gone. You'd still have the world system, and you'd still have the flesh to deal with. And so, interesting, the Bible tells us in the battle that we deal with the unholy Trinity in different ways. When it comes to the world, the victory is in the word faith. We overcome the world through faith. 1 John chapter 5 says this, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So we overcome the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and boastful pride of life. We overcome that enemy by faith. Now, when it comes to the flesh, this is totally different. When it comes to the flesh, the key word is flee. We have to flee youthful lusts. We don't do battle with the flesh by just fighting that. We flee it, especially when it comes to sexual temptation. You have to get out of there. Joseph in the book of Genesis is a great example. When he dealt with Potiphar's wife, who constantly was saying, lie with me, lie with me, lie with me, and she finally grabbed his coat. When all the other servants were out of the house, she grabbed his coat and she pulled him close to her and said, lie with me. And what did he do? He spun out of his coat and he got out of the house. He ran from that temptation. He didn't try and say, well, you know, Mrs. Potiphar, we just need to get down on our knees and pray about this because this is wrong. No, you don't pray about that sin. You flee that sin. You fight the world, that the temptations from the world. But when it comes to the temptations of the flesh, you got to get yourself out of there because those temptations are so strong that you can't be in that environment. The Bible says, Romans chapter 13, verse 14, make no provision for the flesh with regard to its lusts. You can't handle it. I can't handle it. Joseph couldn't handle it. Paul can't handle it. No one can handle that. And that's why the Lord says you have to flee that temptation. And so Debbie used to tell the girls this with dating. Say, hey, you got to watch out for three things in dating. Because when you start dating somebody and you start falling in love and you want, as a Christian, you want to remain pure, the three things you got to watch out for, location, location, location. You can't put yourself in a position where, hey, we're going to go to, used to be drive-in movies. You know, that's where everybody went when I was a kid, that, you know, you want to make out, let's go to the drive-in movie. But if you're going to be alone and nobody's around, and there's no accountability, and it's dark, you're just setting yourself up for failure. Make no provision for the flesh with regard to its lusts. If you have problems with alcohol, you need to get all the alcohol out of your house. Don't make a provision for the flesh. I had a guy tell me, he said, well, I think that's a good test for me, and so I keep alcohol. I said, you're an alcoholic. You need to make sure that you don't have that around, because when the temptation comes, if you have provision for the flesh, you will fail. So how do we deal with the world? It's by faith. How do we deal with the flesh? We flee. And what's the key word with the devil? The key word with the devil is to fight, to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. The Bible says in the book of James, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And so when the enemy comes at us, here's the wonderful thing. We don't need to be afraid of him. The Bible says, greater is he who is in you, 1 John 4:4, than he that is in the world. And so we don't need to be afraid of the devil. Now, we don't need to go hunting him up. But when we feel the demonic forces coming against us, we just we resist the devil in the power of the Holy Spirit, and knowing that that the Lord inside is greater than he who is in the world. Resist the devil, James 4, and he will flee from you. That's what the Bible says. He's going to be afraid of you. Now, he's not afraid of you if you don't understand the power that you have to resist him. And we have lots of Christians that don't understand the power to resist him. And so they don't do it. And they give in to the flesh and they give in to the world and they don't stand in faith and they don't flee the temptations of youthful lusts and the temptations of the flesh. And they don't fight very well. So many Christians don't even understand that we're in a battle and we do have a real enemy who wants to steal and kill and destroy. Now, the devil works hard to keep us from Christ. But once you put your faith and trust in Christ, that doesn't mean he stops and just says, oh, okay, I guess I'll just leave Pastor Jeff alone because he's already believed in Jesus. I can't send him to hell, and so I'll just work on somebody else. No, if the devil can't deceive you into rejecting Christ, ignoring Christ, and you do come to Christ by repentance and faith, then he works on you to steal your joy, to steal your power, to steal your influence, and to steal your witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, here's the good news. But in all these things, Romans 8:37, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. And so we can walk in victory. And as we get ready to enter into 2023, we can say, hey, I'm going to be victorious over the world, over the flesh, and over the devil, not in my strength, but in his strength. The battle is the Lord's. And as I walk in the light with him, then I experience his grace, his peace, his power, his presence. The sweet aroma of the knowledge of him goes forth in every place I go. Does that mean I'm never going to sin in 2023? No. Solomon said, indeed, there's not a righteous man on the earth who continually does good and never sins. You're going to still struggle with sin. I'm going to still struggle with sin. But we don't let that build up. And we walk in the light with Jesus and we bring our sins to him immediately. And we're constantly aware of our relationship with him and our fellowship with him. And we desire that. And if we sin, if we blow it, we immediately get that right. We have an outburst of anger, we get that right. If we feel jealous, we bring that to the Lord. If there's bitterness that starts to set into our hearts, we bring that to the Lord. And we just walk by faith and not by sight. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you as we talk about this important issue of spiritual warfare. I got a new book just last week from a missionary. He had to write it under a pseudonym because he's in an area where their missionaries are not allowed. But he's talking about spiritual warfare. And from a missionary's point of view, what do you deal with on the mission field? You know, it's being a missionary in a difficult, dark, demonic stronghold place is hard. And the devil doesn't just, he doesn't go out without a fight. And so what do we do when it comes to dealing with the devil? We resist him firm in our faith. We fight him, and he will flee from us. So remember those key words as you deal with the enemies, the unholy trinity. When it comes to the world, faith, that overcomes the world, and we stand firm in the truth of God. When it comes to the flesh, flee, and when it comes to the devil, fight. Stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And as the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6, put on the full armor of God. It's important to dress for success. It's important to have your armor on. No soldier would ever go out to battle without his armor. That would be, you'd just be asking for it. And so, what does the Bible say that God has given us? We have the belt of truth. Gird your loins with truth. Truth has to permeate everything in your life and my life. You can't be held together with lies. You're held together with the truth. And then you put on the breastplate of righteousness to guard your heart and your vital organs. And it's not your righteousness. You don't have any. I don't have any. It's his righteousness. And we every day appropriate the righteousness of Christ. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's peace with God and the peace of God. And we put on those shoes and we go and tell others how they can have peace with God. It says, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And we stand firm in our faith. How do you grow in faith? Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we dress for the battle, and we prepare, and we realize, hey, we are in a battle. We are in the Lord's army, and there is victory in Jesus Christ. The number to call is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're talking about the subject of spiritual warfare, going up against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and how we have victory in Jesus. And a righteous man falls seven times and rises again. If you've been knocked down, you don't need to stay down. You can get up in the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Dear 1 million moms, I've always thought that maybe your organization was making a mountain out of a molehill. But today, I cannot believe what I just saw on my TV.
Concerned about the trash flowing into your home through today's media that simply will not censor itself? Make your voice heard. If you see trash in the media, tell us. Use the Submit Trash button at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com. And thanks.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, we're going to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, in June and September of 2023. And we're going to have a wonderful time seeing Washington and seeing Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington. We're going to go there on the Saturday. We're there. Everywhere we go, Stephen McDowell will be giving us a talk on the Christian heritage of America. And that's very important, and it's lost in much of our popular culture today. But Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation is a dear brother and has been going with me on these tours for many, many years. I just wouldn't do it without him. He is just an invaluable source, if you will, of information. So we're going to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, and George Washington's Mount Vernon. And then we're also going to Jamestown, Williamsburg, and Yorktown. If you want to go with us, then go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com.
Rob West here, host of MoneyWise, heard daily on American Family Radio. I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. For over 40 years, American Family Association has been on the front lines in the battle for the future of our great nation. They continue to stand for the biblical principles America was founded upon. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. Why not explore the benefits of including AFA in your estate planning? You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Contact Riley Wildman and the team at the AFA Foundation today. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit afafoundation.net.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the subject of spiritual warfare. Hey, are you ready for the battle? Did you realize there is a battle raging? And the Christian faces an unholy trinity, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Well, the phone lines are open. If you have a question about spiritual warfare or a testimony where you were tempted and God saw you through and gave you strength, as we said, that the key words, when you deal with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, the things in the world, we win the victory through faith. When it comes to the things of the flesh, we win the victory through fleeing, flee youthful lusts. And when it comes to the battle with the devil, we win the victory as we stand firm against the schemes of the devil and we fight. And so we have Robert on the line from Texas. Robert, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. I wanted to say, first of all, you are my road pastor. I'm currently driving through Iowa, and I listen to you every day, and I'm very blessed to be part of your every day.
Thank you, my brother.
My question is basically this. The temptations that we get each and every day, the thoughts that we get, where do those thoughts come from? If I'm focusing on God's word, then why do I still have these crazy thoughts that pop into my head, and I have to dismiss them, and I have to, say, God, infuse my thoughts with your wisdom and righteousness that I gained from reading your word today. You know, inform my speech so my words glorify you. Animate my actions so I don't do what I'm thinking, in other words. Does that make any sense?
Yes, for sure. And we can have terrible thoughts come into our minds. And I think it was Martin Luther that said, you know, I can't keep the birds from flying over my head, but I can certainly keep them from making a nest in my hair. And so the idea that the devil will throw thoughts into our minds, your flesh can have thoughts come in, you know. When it comes to lust, let's say you see a beautiful woman and the temptation is to immediately lust after her. Well, that's a temptation. That's not a sin. It's what you do with that thought that comes into your mind. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Some people beat themselves up, Robert, over that. Why do I have these terrible thoughts? You know, there may be thoughts of jealousy or bitterness or, this person at work, we're going up for this job interview and this promotion, and I hope they fall on their face, and you think, well, that's a terrible thought. Why do I have that thought? And so I must be a terrible person because I had that thought. Not the case. I mean, we're in a warfare, and so there are arrows flying, and the birds, to use the Martin Luther illustration, the birds are flying over our heads. So we just say, well, I'm not going to let that thought in. I'm not going to receive that. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, the prudent sees the evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it. And so when we see the evil, and when the temptation comes right at the door to lust, to be greedy, to be vengeful, whatever it might be, that's when we say, wait a minute, I got to take captive that thought. I'm not letting that thought in, because I'm taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I remember a sermon by Adrian Rogers once, and he said, you can choose your thoughts just like you choose your friends. And so we don't let those thoughts in, and we just say, hey, I'm dealing with sin. I'm dealing with internal sin. I'm dealing with external sin in the world. I'm dealing with an infernal foe in the devil and his demonic horde. So I am going to have some of those thoughts, and I reject them in Jesus' name, and I'm not letting my mind dwell on those things. I think about Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Is that helpful?
That is. I told your call screener, because he asked me for the question, and I'll pose it to you. Can the devil read our thoughts, or does he just hear our words?
Yeah, I think that the devil can make some educated guesses on our thoughts. I don't think he has access to that, but he knows, he can see what's going on. And the devil is, he's more crafty, Genesis 3:1, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And so he's a slippery character. And here's the thing too, Robert. So we talk about the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The devil's not omnipresent. He has other demons that do his demonic work. But lots of times we think we're getting an attack from the devil, let's say, and it's probably just an attack from the flesh and the world. When you're really in the presence of evil, I mentioned that missionary that wrote the book about, you know, he's ministering in a stronghold of Satan, where Islam is got a stranglehold on the people. Then you're going to experience the direct demonic attacks. And so so in direct answer to your question, I don't think the devil can read our minds. I don't think he has access to that, but he can see where we struggle. He can really hit us. If we struggle with jealousy, he can hit us in that area. If we struggle with lust, he can hit us in that area. And, the big temptations, money, sex, and power. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of bullets in his gun. He doesn't need a lot. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, boastful pride of life. That's what he's going to hit on, and that's going to get 100% of us in one of those areas, because we struggle in different areas, but if you put them in broad categories, it's going to be one of those three.
Good. So just because a person, gets saved, you know, commits his life to the Lord Jesus, and then 40 years later has wandered through the desert in different levels of understanding, it doesn't mean we are leaving God's protection. Is that what I understood from your opening statement?
Yeah, and so you can't lose your when you have a genuine relationship with the Lord. And a lot of people, they say they do and they don't. Judas said he did and he didn't. Jesus said, "Did I not choose you the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." So a true believer can never lose that. And when we see people like Joshua Harris, you know, "I kiss dating goodbye," and then the next book, "I kiss Christianity goodbye." If somebody says, "Well, I used to be a Christian and now I'm not a Christian anymore," the Bible speaks directly to that. 1 John chapter 2, "They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out in order that it might be shown that they all are not truly of us." And so when you see somebody walking away from the faith, that person probably never had it. Christians can fall into terrible, horrible sin. Lot is a good example. He felt his righteous soul tormented day after day with the lawless deeds of the Sodomites when he pitched his tent towards Sodom. We can fall into terrible, horrible sin, but we never fall out of the grace of God, because nothing shall separate us from the love of God. So, hey, God bless you, Robert. I got some other calls, but thank you for calling in. Thank you for your encouragement to me. Well, we have Gloria from Mississippi on the line. Gloria, go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I listen to you every day, so we really appreciate all the information and all the love that you show all of us through truth.
Thank you.
And I think that's what's lacking in this world. But I'd like to ask you, how do you handle a situation in your own home? Over the holidays, we had a family member and her family stay with us, and something happened, and this person went berserk. And we were up to midnight trying to deal with her, and I was repeating the fruit of the Spirit to her, but it did not register with her. She just kept on and on and on. What do I do when I have someone in my home and I don't know how to handle this situation?
Was this person?
Do I kick them out?
Was she claiming to be a believer?
Yes, she works at a church. That's another thing that disturbed me, is we're saying we're a Christian, but we are. I felt the depression when she started, and it is unbelievable. It's just so disturbing to me. But we were in our own home, and I didn't know how to handle this. We're older as well. We're in our 70s.
Yeah. That's not so old, Gloria.
I know I can sleep. I'm sorry?
Say it again.
I said, we're older, and we're in our own home, so we don't know how to handle a visitor in your home that acts like that.
Well, so I would look at it this way. Christianity is messy because people have real problems, and the idea that, well, take two scriptures and call me in the morning, you know, the battle is the Lord's, and he gives us victory, but it's difficult. And so we go through times of testing, times of trials. We don't always do well. We can be like Job's wife, where we just lose it and say, curse God and die. The thing is, you don't stay there. And what I notice with people, so Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me. I tell people this, listen, we can go through the valley of the shadow of death. Every Christian does from time to time. You just can't stay there. We walk through it. We don't live there. We don't build a house there in the valley of the shadow of death. The Lord leads us through those difficult times. So I would say, Gloria, in that situation, that you love on that family member, that you're there for that family member, that you speak truth, that you show love and care and concern, that you pray over that family member. Unless they're doing drugs in your house or committing sexual immorality in your house, you know, I think you have house rules. Hey, we're not going to do this. But if they're just hurting, if they're dealing with depression and things like that, I think that you just walk through that with them. You love on them. Just know that, hey, this is, I wish it were easy, but it's not easy. And we're not going to dump you because you're not doing right. We're going to be there for you. And, you know, that's the great thing about the Lord. As I said at the top of the program, He never leaves us and never forsakes us. And even when we're doing terrible and when we're at our lowest, He's still there. He says, I'm not leaving you. I'll still be there for you. So I hope that's helpful to you. And I know that's not an easy situation at all. But just continue to speak the truth in love and continue to show grace to that person who is struggling. And I think that's the best way to go. Well, we have Michael on the line from Oklahoma. Michael, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Jeff. I was asking about chapter 4 of Job, verse 15, a spirit glided past my face and the hair on my body stood on end. Is that a evil spirit or a spirit of God?
No, that's an evil spirit, because Job's friends, they gave Job a lot of advice, and the Lord says, your friends, he tells Job, they have not spoken from me. And so Job was getting bad advice from well-intentioned friends, but I think in Job 4, that's a demonic spirit that is influencing, it's Eliphaz in chapter 4.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, my friend. All right, we have Hartwell from Louisiana. Hartwell, we just have a couple of minutes. Go ahead.
My question is, I keep hearing people say that it's spiritual war, therefore it's all in God's hands. I don't have to do anything. I'm going to sit back and relax and let God take care of everything. Is that true?
Think about it this way. So David told Goliath, the battle is the Lord's, and he will deliver you into my hand. But David had to go out to the battlefield. He had to put the stone in the sling. He had to swing it over his head, and he had to face the giant. And so God took it from there. I think this is the way to understand this, Hartwell. God will not do what you can do, and you cannot do what he can do. So the battle is the Lord's, but we need to show up for the battle. We need to stand up. We need to pray as the disciples prayed, Lord, give us boldness to speak as we ought to speak, and that your hand would be upon us, and that your hand would perform signs and wonders and miracles. And so it's a combination. He doesn't do the things that we can do, and we for sure can't do what he can do. And if we just don't show up for the battle, we're not going to win. Because they had to go into the promised land and fight all the ites, the Girgashites and Jebusites and all those people that lived in the land. That wasn't a vacant piece of property. And as they fought, God gave them the victory. So I appreciate your question, my friend. Well, thank you for joining us today, Joe. I'm sorry I didn't get to you. But thank you for joining us today on Real Truth for Today. And listen, we do have the victory in Jesus Christ. So keep your eyes fixed on the Lord. And as we do, we will see him do great and mighty things in us and through us. God bless you. Make it a great day. Shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And God will use you as his witness. I'll be with you next time. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.